Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Persibelli. And today I am so excited to finally share that I am, in fact, pregnant. And this summer I will be having a baby, which is so crazy to say. It's so crazy to say out loud, and it's so crazy to even just like realize and think in my head, like, oh my gosh, this summer, like, it is February 2026, and in the summer of 2026 I'm gonna have a baby. It is so nuts, and time is flying but also going like so slow at the same time, because like when you are like waiting to announce and you're just like keeping it to yourself, it's like torture. It is torture. And I think for that reason, a lot of people get like, you know, so excited, so impatient. So like they announce really early, but I did not want to announce early. So at the time of recording this right now, I am 14 weeks. So I am officially in my second trimester. And I would have never announced it before being in my second trimester. I would have never announced it. A lot of people, like, people who are due the same time as me, that I don't even follow, because my whole now like social media algorithm is all like pregnancy stuff. So my TikTok, my Instagram, whatever, just people in general make sharing their pregnancy announcements that are all due the same time as me, have announced weeks ago. Not to mention, now I'm seeing people that are announcing for September and October of this year. I'm like, obviously of this year. I'm like, what, did you get pregnant yesterday and you're sharing it already? Like, it's like so crazy to me to be seeing people announcing for September and October, knowing that I'm due before that and I did not announce yet. And so for that reason, I felt like time is going so slow. But at the same time, I do feel like time is going so fast, because I feel like I can't even believe that I already am at 14 weeks. Because here's the thing. The later you find out that you're pregnant, because some people don't know right away, you know, some people don't find out until they are much later in their, you know, journey, then obviously time gets to go faster because you're already closer to that second trimester. Let's say someone doesn't find out till they're 10 weeks, 11 weeks pregnant. You know, then it's like, oh, okay, like I'm breezing through, like I've already made it through the first 10 weeks. I found out right away. I found out at 4 weeks, which is essentially kind of like the earliest you really can find out. I guess you could kind of find out from 3 to 4 weeks. And I probably could have, because the pregnancy test that I used, I think it said like that it could tell you, it could confirm, like maybe it said up to 6 days before a missed period. But I just didn't check it before my period. I just waited until the day that my period was supposed to come. And instead of even waiting to see if I was late or whatever, I just took a test. I just like woke up in the morning and took a test, because it was like, okay, period day today. Let's see, am I going to get my period or am I not? So I didn't even like give myself a chance to be late. So that's why I found out at 4 weeks, essentially. That's like, to me, really the earliest you could, unless you took a test that said it could tell you, you know, 5-6 days before a missed period, then you could probably find out at like 3.5 weeks, like whatever the case might be. So I found out so early. And because of that, you're like, okay, now what? Because like a doctor is not seeing you. An OBGYN is not seeing you at 4 weeks. They're not seeing you at 5. I'm lucky that I did get in to my doctor at 6 weeks, because I was like adamant. I'm like, I was just so like nervous and whatever. And it's like, now what? Like, what do you do? Like, what do you do when you know you're pregnant? No one else knows you're pregnant. A doctor is not seeing you. It's a very like scary feeling. So I like really, really like fought for that appointment. I think I just got someone's like cancellation. I like put myself on a cancellation list because like the doctor was busy, and I just like constantly called. I was calling nonstop, and I kept telling them, I'm like, please, I am pregnant. It is my first baby. Like, I really, really, really want to be seen by a doctor. So I did get in at 6 weeks. And then after the 6 weeks is when I started to tell my parents, family, like things like that. So Let me back up though, because I mentioned about finding out early. And I want to talk about like tracking and whatnot, because I feel like this is really valuable information for girls. A lot of you girls that follow me are all planning your weddings right now. And this might be the next step after that, if that's, you know, what you want, if that's what you choose. And so I want to give hope to the girls that this is not to say that this is possible for everyone, but that it's possible for some people, because it happened to me. I got pregnant on the first try. I am not saying that to say, oh, that's normal. Like, because quite frankly, I never heard of that. Like, I've only ever heard of people's trying to conceive journeys and how many months they've been trying for and like all of these things. And so to me, the norm and the average person is not going to get pregnant on the first try. And that's totally fine. It is insanely common. And it actually makes you realize, you know, when you're like a young girl and you're like, you know, hooking up with guys and whatever, and you're like, oh my God, I might be pregnant. Meanwhile, there's like not a chance in hell. It's like, oh yeah, actually, it's like really kind of hard to get pregnant. So like, you're probably not actually. And so, yeah, like you don't realize until you're older and like really like, whether it's you trying or friends and family trying, it's not until then that you realize like, oh, getting pregnant just like off the bat is usually not the case. But it was for me. And so I was tracking my ovulation. How it started was that I was doing ovulation strips. So that's like super old school. It's just like a strip, you know, kind of like like a urine test. Like when you go to the doctor and like they put that strip in there and it like, you know, like the dye comes up or whatever. Then I switched to a clear blue ovulation test. So it was like a digital, it kind of looks like a pregnancy test, but it's an ovulation test. And then my friend recommended something way better and recommended Inito, Inito. Now it is expensive and you are not buying it at CVS. You know, you're not just going to get it at a drugstore on the shelf. You have to order it online. I ordered it on Amazon, and it's a device that comes with tests that you like clip onto your phone, and then you got to download the app. And it might sound like, oh my God, like whatever, but it is so on point and so detailed, because you know, when you're doing just like an ovulation test from the drugstore, it's just going to tell you whether you're ovulating or not, basically, as opposed to when you do this thing that I did, Inito, it's going to tell you everything. It's going to tell you your hormone levels. It's going to tell you what's high, what's low. It's going to tell you like, if you're not ovulating right now, but your ovulation is coming. It's going to confirm if you've ovulated. Like, it is so, so, so detailed. And so like, I just feel like women should be having access to things like this in general. And so a friend of mine that recommended it got pregnant on the first try. So I'm saying I did all these tracking things, but this was all in a matter of one shot. This was 3 days in a row, quite literally. So what happened was I wanted to know exactly when I was ovulating after, you know, my period. And so after my period, the first thing I did was I did the strip test, and it said that I was ovulating. I'm pretty sure that's the day that it happened, because then what happened was the next day I did the clear blue one, because I thought I had just began my ovulation. I thought I was on day one of my ovulation window when I did the strip. So I was going to test everything out. So day two, I did the clear blue ovulation test, and it said not ovulating. So then I was confused, because I'm like, yesterday's strip said I'm ovulating. Today's clear blue said I'm not ovulating. And my friend had recommended the Inito, so I ordered it and it was delivering. So I got it by the third day. So then day three, I did the Inito testing, and it said not ovulating. So I had totally tracked my, which I wasn't actually tracking it. I was just assuming that I knew when my ovulation window was. So I had been totally off on when my ovulation window actually was. And that very first day when I did the strip test was actually, when it said, yeah, you are ovulating, it was actually the last day of my ovulation window. But now because it's just paper and it's not detailed and it doesn't explain anything, I thought in my head, like, oh, I got my ovulation window right. So like, yeah, I'm starting. Like, this is the beginning of my ovulation, but it wasn't. It was actually the end. And so if I missed that day, I wouldn't have been pregnant for that month. So I actually, it was because of the strip. However, it was because of the Inito that I realized the whole rest of it, I missed my ovulation window, because the Inito app, then you track it every single day. So when you track it every single day, like I said, it tells you your levels, your highs, your lows, whatever. And so every single day it kept saying, not ovulating, not ovulating, not ovulating. But then it confirmed at the end that I had already ovulated. So I was like, okay. So that's when I realized that strip test that I took wasn't the beginning of my ovulation window. It was the end. And I had just been wrong about when I thought I was going to be ovulating, and I should have already been tracking from earlier. So that was just me, but it was because of the peace of mind that I had from the Inito app that I was like, okay, but I might still be lucky, because it confirmed I did ovulate earlier in the week. It did happen. And so that was that. And honestly, I was like so stressed, because I was like, oh my God, I messed it all up. Like, I missed the window, whatever. But my friend who had already used the Inito app was like, do not stress. Like, just keep using it. Like, literally test every single day. Like, test every single day, because it's going to be such valuable information. And so if you did miss it this time, because obviously, like, I wasn't sure. So she was like, if you did fully miss it this time, at least you started the Inito testing an app when you did. And now, like, you'll know 100% for the next month. Like, you'll be able to track it, like, all the way through, and you will be 100% sure. So I just kept going with that, and it was so dang accurate and so insightful and so helpful. So I really could not possibly recommend it enough for girls, even though that's not the thing that, like, was the thing I used that day. It still was the most helpful tool moving forward. And I just happened to get lucky with that one day. And so I know this is like, okay, TMI, but like, this podcast is for the girls, okay? It's not for the boys. So boys should not be listening to this, and girls should not be feeling like this is TMI, because if I'm talking to the girls, like, we're all girls here, right? It's like being in, like, the girls' locker room. It's like being in the girls' bathroom. Like, anybody got a pad? I have my period. Anybody got this? Like, you could talk about these things, right? Like, that we should be able to do that. And I don't feel, like, embarrassed. I don't feel anything, like, about it. You know, I feel like I'm talking to my friends here. So I am an open book with that stuff, especially because I feel that it's helpful, and I feel that it could give people some hope. So yes, for some, it will be possible that it happens right away. I know it will not for everybody, but let me also just say, because of that, because I'm so, like, I'm very aware of the fact of how hard some people's fertility journeys are. And I know a lot of people struggle with infertility, and a lot of people struggle, you know, with their trying to conceive journey. And, like, it's really, really hard. And they are going months, if not years. Some people are going years. Some people have quite literally no choice other than to go to IVF. So because I'm so aware of that, and I'm, like, sensitive to it, nothing has been pissing me off more than the people who keep bringing up to me, like, now that I'm married. It's mostly people on social media, but some people have said it, like, to my face in person as well. But, like, nothing has pissed me off more than the amount of people who don't even know me that are commenting me or messaging me about, like, okay, like, we're ready for your mama era. Like, when are you gonna start planning? I did a Q&A yesterday. It's still on my story right now. So I screenshotted, yeah, I only screenshotted 4 of these last night, but I feel like there was even more since, because it's still on my story, people are still submitting questions. So I guarantee there's even more. But these are some of the questions I got in my Q&A. Are you planning on having kids? And if so, when? Like, it doesn't work like that. I guess, sure, it did for me. But, like, that's, like, so rare. And for the average person, it's not that simple to be like, yeah, my plan to start having kids is this time, this day, this month. Like, it doesn't always work like that. So you don't ask people, are you planning on having kids? And if so, when? Like, it is so invasive and so insensitive, and it just shows how ignorant people are to this. You don't do that. You, unless somebody announces to you that they are pregnant, you don't ask them questions about getting pregnant. And then, yeah, some people did ask me, like, of course, after the wedding, that's always the first question. It's like, okay, like, when are we starting? Like, whatever. And like, first of all, you're not going to say to people like, yeah, we're trying. It's like, okay. Like, I just feel, I don't know. I never said that to someone. I never was like, yeah, we're trying. Anytime somebody asked me, I would just be like, I would just like kind of cross my fingers and be like, we'll see what happens. You know, like, that's all I would say. We'll see what happens. You know, like, whatever's God plan, whatever God's plan is for us, because we make our plans and God laughs at us. Like, you can't plan for that stuff. Sometimes it works out and oftentimes it does not. And because of that, like, I just, it's been making me so mad how many people have been asking me that and how many people are comfortable asking me that. I have TikTok comments, Instagram DMs, and like, what if I couldn't get, like, what if I couldn't? So I don't know. Like, I guess it's a non-issue because I could, but like, I just think about everybody else and it like makes me so sad and like so upset, because as a girl, please, I'm sure we all know a handful of people who struggle, and like, I just think about someone doing it to them and someone asking them like, oh, so if so, when are you going to start planning? And like, me knowing that that person is trying, but is struggling, please, it just like, it absolutely breaks my heart. So yeah, I had to just put that out there, because don't do that to people. Don't be that person who does that. It makes me, ugh, like, it makes me so nauseous. Speaking of nauseous, I guess we could talk about like some symptoms and stuff, because I have so much to share and I wanted to get into everything, because I feel like I'm going to sound like crazy. I don't want in any way, shape or form to sound insensitive, but on top of saying like, yeah, I got pregnant right away, I also haven't had a dreadful pregnancy so far. Like, it, I think because there's so much sensitivity around fertility and pregnancy and how much people struggle, it almost makes me feel like guilty to share that I'm having a really good experience. Do you know what I mean? And so I want to share because I want to offer that hope to people, but I also don't want to come across as like bragging or sounding like, yeah, girls, like, just got pregnant, it's perfectly fine. Because I know that the struggle is real. And I know that if God willing, I have a second or a third, like, that my journey might not look like that at that time too, you know, because I've talked to plenty of people who were like, I was good for my first one, terrible for my second one, or vice versa. My first one was terrible, my second one was a breeze. And for me, it's not to say necessarily that it's like a breeze, but my symptoms aren't so crazy. So I did just mention nausea in the very beginning, from like that week 4 to week, let's say 9, 10-ish, I did experience minor nausea. However, I never once threw up, not one single time. And that has been my fear all along. Like, if I had any reason to say I like didn't want to get pregnant, it would be because when I do get sick and when I do vomit, you guys know I have a very severe reaction. So anytime that I throw up, I end up in the hospital, or I end up having a nurse come to give me like IV, and it has cost me thousands of dollars. I was diagnosed in 2025 with cyclical vomiting syndrome. And so it's essentially like, once the floodgates open, it never ends. So when I do throw up, I'm not a one and done type of person. I will throw up into the next day. Like, until my body has completely given up, completely depleted, I have absolutely nothing left to give, and I'm just like dead practically. I'm like laying cold on the floor, like I cannot move. So I've been hospitalized for vomiting. I've had nurses come take care of me for vomiting. And because I knew that that's a very big symptom of pregnancy, where people get sick every single day, I can't even tell you my fear that I've had in regards to this. However, I did not throw up one single time. So again, it is possible. Although I did have some nausea. Also in the early weeks, in addition to the nausea, I had a lot of cramps. So it's kind of like period cramps, but honestly, to me, worse. I felt like I was very, very, like it was all day, because even when I would get period cramps, they would like come and go. But in those early weeks, I had cramps all day long and you can't take anything. Like obviously when you have your period, Advil, Midol, whatever, when you're pregnant, you're not taking diddly squat, nothing. You're not treating your cramps. So you are suffering through it. So I was in very severe stomach pain, crampiness. Again, just to describe it, imagine like period all day. And I was making many trips to the bathroom. We're just going to say number two. Okay. Again, all in those earlier weeks. I didn't even have to wait until my second trimester to get past that. I would say all of that was pretty much done by like week 9, 10. So if I found out week 4 and that was through then, you know, it was like 6 weeks of that, which might sound like a lot, but in hindsight, knowing like what other people go through, like I know people who were sick for 40 weeks straight, their whole pregnancy. So I'm like, knock on wood, very grateful. But yeah, in and out of the bathroom all day long, nonstop, number two. And I also, which is funny because you would think if you're going to the bathroom so much, maybe you were like eating crazy things, whatever. No, I had no appetite. Which I feel for me might have been a result of like the cramps and whatnot. Like when I have my period, like a lot of people when they're on their period, they like binge eat, they eat a lot. Like I never was like that. When I have my period, I like don't eat at all because I would get nauseous or crampy. And I'm just like, ugh, the thought of food, I can't even think about eating anything. So that's how I was. So I like didn't gain a pound because those first few weeks I was barely eating. I would just make like pastina soup, like something very, very light just to have food in my system. But I was not eating like normal food. It wasn't until recently, I would say maybe from like week 12, where I like started to get an appetite. Cause yeah, I'm like 14 weeks now. So for the past like 2 weeks, I've been like back to eating like a little bit normal. However, I feel like I'm like carb loading because there's so many things I cannot eat, which I will get into. There's so many things I can't eat that I'm just like loading up on pasta and bread, like lots of carbs, rice, like starchy stuff, because it like it fills you up. It tastes good. It feels good. There's no limitations with it. So I'm like, all right, if this is the best thing I can do, then like, that's what I'm going to do. So I've been eating a ton of carbs and that's where I'm at right now. It's like, I finally got my appetite back. However, I have no cravings. People always ask if I have cravings. Yeah, the same cravings that I had when I wasn't pregnant, sushi. Can't eat it, but I crave sushi every day in my life. But that's nothing new because I craved sushi every day in my life before this as well. I'm telling you right now, if my husband does not bring me a $300 sushi boat to that hospital, done. Absolutely done. Push present? Yeah, a sushi boat. Thank you very much. I will devour. Devour, okay? My bookworm girls are going to love this, especially if you're anything like me and you love when your reads get under your skin and you have no idea what's coming next and the suspense won't let you put the book down. That is definitely The Wedding Vow by Dandy Smith, and you need to get your hands on it immediately. It's a domestic suspense thriller where nothing is quite as it seems. It has everything you want in a suspense novel: secrets, lies, emotional damage, and the deeply unsettling feeling that somebody absolutely should not be trusted, and of course, an affair. This book is pretty much one that takes the whole shiny, romantic, my husband is my rock idea and just casually sets it on fire, because beneath all the picture-perfect appearances, The Wedding Vow is packed with tension, deception, and the kind of twists that make you stop and go, oh, wow, so everyone here is making terrible choices, which for me is, of course, ideal reading. Imagine realizing you don't know your husband at all, and the truth and shocking secrets are a lot more dangerous than you'd ever imagine. This book is full of that addictive thriller energy where you think you know what's going on, and then the author basically leans in and says, "You really thought, huh?" So if you like books by Geneva Rose or even Freida McFadden that keep you on the edge of your seat, then you are going to love this one. The Wedding Vow by Dandy Smith is available now wherever books are sold, so go grab your copy today. Starting something new isn't just hard, it can be terrifying. So much work goes into this thing that you're not entirely sure will work out, and it could be scary to make that leap of faith. Trust me, I know. When I started this podcast, I wasn't even sure what I was doing. What if no one listens? What if I do something wrong? What if no one buys my products? All the questions that we're all asking. Now, I know that I was right in believing in myself and launching this podcast despite all the fears and hesitations. It also helps when you have a partner like Shopify on your side to help. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names like Skims and Rode to brands just getting started. You'll be asking yourself questions like, but what if people haven't heard about my brand? Well, Shopify helps you find your customers with easy-to-run email and social media campaigns. And questions like, what if I get stuck? Not to worry, Shopify is always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. So it's time to turn those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/forthegirls. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls. That's shopify.com/forthegirls. Oh. The exhaustion, the fatigue, there is nothing like it. I nap pretty much every day. The only time I don't nap is when I can't. If I like physically don't have the time, it's a busy day, whatever. And those are the worst days of my life because the exhaustion is something that you'll never understand until you're pregnant. So men will never know this level of exhaustion. And even women who choose to never get pregnant will also never know this level of exhaustion. Your body just straight up gives out. Your body like will just collapse. It'll just go down. Like pregnancy fatigue is like, I could sleep standing up. It's like, it doesn't matter when, where, how, why. Sleep, yeah, that is gonna happen. But then it's funny because like sometimes you'll have insomnia too. So it's like during the day, it's like, what is that called? Nocturnal. It's like during the day, all I want to do is lay in bed. I want to nap. I want to sleep. After I film this, oh, because that's another thing. Out of breath. Like even just talking this much and like doing all this, you might be able to hear that I'm out of breath. I feel it. I'm like constantly catching my breath. It's like in my chest. I'm so out of breath. So I get winded very easily. Oh, forget it. If I go to Pilates, which I've really been slacking on Pilates, but when I go to Pilates, I'll take like a 3-hour nap after because that 1-hour workout took the whole life out of me, sucked the entire life out of me. So after that, I am like shower, sleep, no matter what time the class was. So the sleep is unreal. And like during the day, yeah, it's like insane. But then like at night, sometimes you can't fall asleep. It's like, what is that? So I don't know. But sometimes what I have found is that the later I go to sleep, and by later, I don't mean 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean like 11:30, 12, like the later that I let myself go to sleep, the better. Because if I go to sleep when I am tired, like let's say it hits me at 9 o'clock, 9:30, I genuinely could fall asleep right then and there. I really could. But if I do, I will wake up in the middle of the night. And I will be up for hours. If I'm asleep at 9:30, 2 o'clock, 2:30, I'm up. And then like, that's it. Like I'll be up. But if I force myself to make myself overtired and I stay up till like 11, 11:30, I, for the most part, will sleep through the night, with the exception of waking up to pee. That I don't know if that'll ever go away, but the waking up to pee every night, clockwork, every single night. And luckily, some nights I'm able to go right back to sleep. Other nights, though, once you're up, it's like, that's it. Game over. So the peeing in the middle of the night is my 13th reason right now, and it's driving me crazy, but it's totally, totally normal. And also, brain fog. You will never feel more stupid in your life. I feel dumb all the time. And I have two brains inside me, one in my head and one in my stomach. Yeah, two brains pumping, zero brains working, because I have no idea what's going on. I forget everything. You are so like, it is the type where you'll literally walk into a room and you're like, what the fuck did I come in here for? Like, what am I doing? I have literally no idea. And then like, it just doesn't come back to you. Like, you're like, no, I have actually no clue. So that is... The brain fog is really, really, really bad. And then like something will randomly hit me days later. And I'm like, oh my God, that's what I wanted to do. There's like a TikTok that I wanted to make. This was like 2 days ago. So I was laying in bed. And you know, like when you're not pregnant and normal, you like get like ideas at night and you're like, oh, okay, I'll do this tomorrow. And then like, and you remember it. I know I won't. So what I've been doing when I'm laying in bed at night, if there's something I need to remember the next day, I'll do a voice memo, like on my iPhone. I just like voice memo and I'll say the thing. And I'm like, okay, like I'll like say the script of the TikTok that I have in my head. And I just say it and do it. And then this way the next day I listen, I play it back, and then I do it. Because I'm like, if I don't do this, I won't remember. Cause like I'm a very big to-do list person, but it's more like bullet points. So I'll just like put a word, you know? So I'll be like, make TikTok about Poland Spring, making that up. But that's like, make TikTok about the water bottle. Okay, next day rolls around. When I'm not pregnant, I'm like, oh, I know exactly what I wanted to say about this Poland Spring water bottle. Done. Now I'm like, make TikTok about Poland Spring water bottle. What the fuck am I talking about? As if it's a different person who wrote this. I'm like, what was I thinking? I have no idea what I'm talking about. So the bullet point to-do list ain't happening anymore. We're going full-blown voice notes. I am giving myself the whole entire script, because otherwise, there's no way that I will remember anything that that I thought I was going to remember. I love overestimating myself. I love thinking that I'll do it. Yeah, not going to happen. Another couple of little symptoms here. I just have three left to go through. Smell. Yeah, forget it. Anything that has the slight odor, even a mild odor, is going to ruin your day. If it smells bad, I don't even like going in the fridge. And like, there's really no reason, because there's nothing gross in the fridge, but it just smells are so much stronger. So things bother me on another level. And once you get the whiff, it's almost like it never goes away, even if they remove the item. Like if my husband has something that smells and I'm like, oh my God, throw that out, get that out. Like I literally cannot smell that right now. And he gets rid of it, it goes away. It's, to me, that's it. It's over. It's still lingering. It's like you could have thrown that 50 feet away and I could still smell it. So it's like, it doesn't even matter at this point. Might as well have kept it right in the room. Speaking of your nose, I'm also constantly sneezing. I don't have a cold. I'm not sick. But since discovering being pregnant, I sneeze all day long. And yeah, guess what? When you're pregnant, you also practically pee yourself every time that you're sneezing. So you're going to be changing your underwear a lot. Okay? You're going to be changing your underwear a lot. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I am constantly sneezing. And yeah. I just bought tons of new underwear, by the way, because of this. I went to Aerie. I actually did two things. I went on Aerie's website because they had, I forget which order it went, but on the website, I think it's like 6 for $36 or something like that. They have some sort of bundle deal of underwear. So I ordered that online and I ordered it for pickup at the mall because it's like free to pick up at the mall versus whatever the fuck it is, $14.99 for shipping. So when I went to the mall to pick up, then they had a sign at the mall in the Aerie store that said, buy four, get four free. So I was like, what, another steal? You know what I mean? So it was like, I bought the six and then I bought eight more because it was buy four, get four free in person. So I walked out with whatever that is, 14 new pairs of underwear. I don't even know math, but I think it's like 14, eight and six. Yeah. I was like, this is great. So all new underwear. I'm a very happy girl. I recommend Aerie. And I also recommend sizing up. That's like a little hack that I have with the underwear. If you want to be extremely comfortable in your underwear all day, thong, regular, full coverage, cheeky, boy short, whatever, get the next size up. I don't know why I always bought my true to size small. And like it fits, but like, sure, I'll have a freaking wedgie every now and then. Like, what? Why? And then I started to buy mediums and it is the best thing I've ever done. Best thing. So insanely comfortable. So the more you know, Aerie underwear, great deals, size up. Okay. Also, you know what? I know everyone's going to be asking gender. I'm just going to put it out there right now. We are not going to be finding out the gender. I know it is crazy. And like, what's even crazier is that I have no idea what I think it is. And I don't know if that's maybe like me just convincing myself that I have no idea because I don't want to assume it's one over the other. You know, like I don't want to get my hopes up for one, let's put it that way. And then I don't want to like feel some type of way of like not being disappointed, right? Because it's like your baby. I don't care if it's a girl or a boy, like healthy. That's all that matters to me. But like still, like, you know, if you start to be like, I think it's a girl, I definitely think it's a girl, then like you now kind of romanticize the idea, you think about it being a girl, and then it's a boy, you might feel like, oh, I feel bad that I like felt that it was a girl. Vice versa. If you're like, I don't want a girl, so I hate when people say that. I don't want a girl, like I hope it's a boy. I want my firstborn to be a boy. You know, and then what if it's a girl? It's like that's I would feel guilty and I would feel bad for my child that like I did that, you know? So I don't have a gut feeling, which I'm like happy about because my intuition is so strong that it's like scary. So I don't have that gut feeling, thank God, because if I had a gut feeling, let's say I had a gut feeling that it's a boy and I wasn't able to ignore it, then what am I going to do? I'm going to be like, oh yeah, no, I know it's a boy. And what if it's not? So with other people, like when other people are pregnant, my gut feeling is so strong and I'm always right. My cousin had two boys. From the second she told me she was pregnant both times, I said, you're having a boy. 100%, no doubt about it. You're having a boy both times. And she thought she was having a girl. And no, she had a boy. And like, that's how I feel with everybody. As soon as someone's pregnant, I like, no, to me, I just know what it is. And I've never been wrong. I'm right every single time. But with myself, I have no idea. And so, yeah, it's going to be really hard to never know and to not find out. But I feel good about it. I love that surprise of like the dad coming out in the hospital and like the whole family is like there in the waiting room waiting to find out. And like we all find out together at once, like the baby's here and it's a girl, boy, whatever. Like I love that. So that's what I want for myself and for my family. And like, you know, that's what I've experienced with my cousins. And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that moment. The other things, okay, a couple of other things. One, get a good look at this not so aesthetically pleasing background. I cannot say that I'm sad about this because I hate the way my office looks. This has kind of just been like a temporary situation. We really didn't do much in here. There's quite literally nothing on the walls. There's nothing like, this is just a desk with some furniture because obviously I need like an office situation. This is going to be a nursery. And then I'm going to maneuver my office into my like closet room. So if you follow me on TikTok, I'm sure you've seen me like getting dressed in there and stuff. So I will be using my like closet room as more like a closet office all in one. And so with that being said, this whole thing is going to change. I'm going to rearrange that room. I want to make it look like nicer, a little bit more presentable, make it like more office friendly. And like, I'm going to situate the desk with the vanity and whatever. And then, yeah, this room will become Bebe's bedroom. And so, yeah, I'm excited to do the nursery. I did also book a baby shower. So that's, we are just like moving and grooving along here, which is like kind of crazy because you think that things, these things are so far away, but like they will be here before you know it. So I'm like, I have some plans for the nursery. I have the date locked in, the place or whatever for the baby shower. So my next thing is to like really get started on like a registry and whatnot and like what products I want and what brands I'm going to use, because that's really overwhelming stuff. There is nothing more like where that brings out like this like complex in women more than wanting to be right about motherhood and parenting and baby stuff. The way that people get online and swear that something is the best thing since sliced bread or something is the worst thing ever and this is toxic and don't use this. And then people are in the comments being like, well, I've used that for my four kids and it's perfect every single time. And then they argue. Oh my God, overwhelming. So I'm not really going crazy with like social media research. I'm more of just using like trusted people, what my cousins used, what friends used, and like getting opinions of people through that. I mean, on that through people, because like otherwise the paralysis, like you will literally have decision fatigue and like it'll be really hard to make decisions on like what's the right thing to use, what's not, because people will swear up and down totally opposite things. So it's very overwhelming. And I'm gonna have to start to get that stuff together. But like, I'm always open to people's like opinions. So like, if there is a hack or a tip or a brand or just something that like you're so sure of that like made your life easier, that helped you, that helped your, you know, journey and whatever, and helped the baby, like feel free to let me know, because I'm always open to more things. And then, okay, I had mentioned food before. I want to get into that because I talked about appetite and like not having an appetite and whatever and eating. And I want to just say, because I am someone whose favorite food is literally either uncooked food or like undercooked food, and you cannot eat anything. And like, obviously before getting pregnant, it's like everyone knows like, okay, you can't eat sushi. It's raw fish. You can't eat sushi. There is so much more to it than that. It's like, oh yeah, don't drink alcohol, don't eat sushi. Problem solved. Problem not solved, okay? So obviously sushi, you cannot eat a medium rare steak, okay? Why? That's uncooked or undercooked meat. Your food has to be cooked. Cooked. So there's been a couple times where I tried to order medium well steak. Ugh, I'm a medium rare girl, okay? Can't be bloody, can't be red. Any, like if you're pregnant. So that's hard for me. So I've tried to order medium well and like try to cheat the system to have it a little pink. I'm like, I want it a little pink, like not like gray. I don't want it well done. I just want a little pink. And they like don't make that happen. And it comes out to me well done. And people will be like, no, that's good. That's medium well. I'm like, no, please. You're talking to someone who wants the cow to still be mooing. Okay. Like I can't eat it like that. So I'm kind of just like staying away from steak right now, because if I can't eat it undercooked, then I don't want it at all. Obviously that also goes with tuna steak. You guys have seen, I used to make tuna steak for dinner all the time. I eat that shit practically rare, you know? Yeah, you can't be doing that. What is my favorite dessert that everybody knows that I love? Tiramisu. Can't eat it. Why? It's raw eggs. Tiramisu is an unbaked dessert. You don't bake it. And when you have all that fluffy white and whatever, yeah, that's eggs, uncooked eggs that you just beat, you know? So they got really fluffy. You cannot eat that. How fucking miserable is that? Also, obviously, what with the eggs, what else does that say? You can't have runny eggs. That's how I eat my eggs. I eat over easy eggs. The whole point is for the yolk to be running so I could dip my bread in it. And when I make hard boiled eggs, I make them soft boiled. So the white is nice and cooked, but the inside is runny. I hate a cooked yolk. You can't eat a runny yolk. And guess what else falls into the raw eggs category? Caesar dressing. I can't even eat a motherfucking Caesar salad. You cannot even have Caesar salad because Caesar dressing is raw eggs. Okay. So imagine how I'm struggling. I'm also obviously like this goes still into like the sushi and tuna and all that. Like I'm a big like tartare person, whether it's tuna tartare, steak tartare, carpaccio, like anything, like at restaurants, like I can't eat obviously oysters. I can't eat anything. I cannot eat any apps that I want. And yes, guys, every time I post that I'm out to dinner and people are getting crispy rice with spicy tuna on top. We went to Nobu and got sushi. Yeah, the cooked food that's there, that's mine. The sushi, the raw fish or whatever, like the raw food, the Caesar salads, not mine. So yeah, I'm posting other people's food. Certainly not mine. And it is making me miserable, absolutely miserable to not be able to eat my absolute favorite things. So now you understand why I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty much just eating pasta because I can't eat anything that I like. And even aside from like tuna being like raw or whatever, you also can't eat high mercury fish. Tuna, swordfish, there's like a bunch of fishes that are high mercury fish and you cannot have anything that's high mercury. So imagine how I feel because of this huge change in my appetite and the fact that I have to stick to it for a very long time. Sacrifices I'm willing to make and I've been really good. Oh, you also can't even have, hold on. Let's also talk about the whole caffeine situation. Luckily, I don't drink coffee, so I don't rely on that. However, I like an iced tea or a soda or even a cup of tea. Quite frankly, I have a cup of tea right here. You can only have one cup of caffeine per day. So I really mostly drink water all day long so that like with my dinner, I could have a treat. I could have an iced tea, you know, because I can't have multiple things with caffeine. So like this cup of tea is a decaf tea. This is like a raspberry and lemon herbal, whatever, caffeine-free tea. But you also cannot have chamomile tea. And guess what? I was drinking chamomile tea because as much as I love, like I'm an English breakfast black tea kind of girl. So I love the caffeine in the tea, but I didn't want that to be my caffeinated beverage of the day. Because I'm like, what if I want a Coke later? What if I want an iced tea later? So I didn't want to waste my one caffeinated beverage on a black tea. So I started drinking chamomile, which is caffeine free. Lo and behold, you come to find out, oh no, you shouldn't even be having chamomile tea. That's dangerous. Some sort of herbs that are in it, whatever the case might be, you cannot have chamomile tea when you're pregnant. So, and I had that probably 3 times, maybe 4. So yeah, the more you know. So look, come back next time for more food lessons with Vic. And I also feel like these kind of go hand in hand. Not only is like the huge change in diet like driving me crazy, the hormones, the emotions, talk about crazy, they are crazy. I've never experienced hormone shifts this like vast in my life. And my period has never made me this like highly emotional, low, like the ups and downs, the highs and lows, like the absolutely drastic emotions. Like I've never experienced that. Like I've never experienced it to this degree from my period. Yes, I've had mood swings. Yes, I've been on my period and been bitchy and moody and crampy and like irritable and like I can't be bothered and whatever. But that'll like happen one day, maybe 2 days. This is like every single day you're on a roller coaster of emotions. Like if you think your menstrual cycle hormones are like out of control, wait until you experience pregnancy hormones, because a good day is good and a bad day is bad. Let's just put it that way. The range of emotions, the spectrum is like 0 to 1,000,000. Forget 0 to 100. It's like really, really, really vast. So that's been hard to navigate as well. And that's been like, I would say, I guess like the worst symptom of them all, because like if everything else is physical and whatever, like there's nothing like something that you absolutely cannot control. Like you absolutely, there's nothing you can do about it. And so that's been definitely hard. But we take it day by day and we are navigating all of it. And that's pretty much everything so far. I do have so much content to share because I've been filming so much. I film weekly little vlogs of myself sharing like my symptoms and how I'm feeling that week and where I'm at. Of course, I recorded like everyone's reactions, telling everyone, you know, that we're pregnant. So I'm going to share all that. There's been a lot of things that I've like recorded that I cannot wait to share. So that'll be coming, you know, little by little. But what I really cannot wait to share, and I could say it now because both of them announced, is that my two best friends, who I introduced to you guys on this podcast through the My Best Friend's Wedding series, I interviewed Amanda and I interviewed Jenna. These are my best friends since high school. They're both pregnant too. And we all found out with each other that we are all pregnant. Like, it is the craziest thing. We call this our unplanned pregnancy pact. We all got pregnant at the same, round about the same time. And we all told each other at the same time. And it was like a scene from a motherfucking movie. The way that like we all, like Jenna said it first, then I said it, then Amanda, we were screaming on the top of our lungs. I'm surprised that we didn't fall through the ground of my, we were in my house. I'm surprised we didn't go through the floor, because the way we were jumping for joy, all of us. I have a video to share and I am going to interview them. So that'll be the next episode. So my next episode is going to be the three of us together doing an interview talk, not so much an interview, but like a conversation, just talking about like all of our journeys so far and all of us being pregnant at the same time and how crazy it is. But let me just say, it is a dream come true. There is nothing like having your literal best friends to go through this with literally at the same time. Same stages, same everything, like at the same time. Discussing everything, planning everything, experiencing everything all together at the same exact time. It's something that every girl wants and hopes for, but like you never know if life is going to work out that way. And I just cannot believe that it worked out that way for us. And I mean, we all got married the same year and now we're all going to have kids back to back. Like, just what a blessing. Seriously, what a blessing. That is, I don't know what we did to deserve such good karma from God, but thank you, God, for this gift that you gave us. It has really been amazing. So I cannot wait to share that content. I can't wait to share that episode. And then there's going to be so much more to share, because as much as I feel like, oh, wow, I'm already in the second trimester, like we're just trekking along, I also feel like this is just the beginning. We are just getting started here. So there is a lot more to come, a lot more to share, and I'm really excited to continue to share this journey with you guys, because you don't know how hard it has been to go. So being that I'm 14, yeah, I found out at four. So for the past 10 weeks of my life, you know, past 3 months, just like not being able to be like totally authentic and real, it's really hard as a content creator. It's like, what else is there? What else is important do I have to talk about? Nothing. The podcast, I'm like struggling to come up with things to talk about, because I'm like, this is the only thing on my mind. TikTok content, daily, everyday lifestyle. I'm like, I'm fucking pregnant. Like, I don't give a shit. What else do I have to say? Like, I have nothing else to talk about. So it's been really hard. I've been like really struggling. So I'm so excited to be sharing this now And now I could be real and I could be myself and I could share all my content and I could just like get into the shift. And yes, there will be a shift and I cannot and will not apologize for it. There, that your life changes when you are pregnant. So I'm going to always do my best to stay true to these roots, but like your life changes, your priorities change, your mindset changes. And like, this is where I'm at in my life. And so I'm excited. I cannot wait. It's like a weight is lifted off my shoulders now. And I could just be honest and be real and be me and share it. And I am so excited. So thank you girls so much for listening. I hope that you are all excited to be a part of this journey with me and stay along for the ride, because it will in fact be a ride and we got a long way to go. So thank you girls so much for listening. Until next time, girls.